Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Mood Control.
Yo, ho!
Saying you might as well pay attention. You can't afford free. Mood Control is designed to render funkable ideas brought to you by the makers of Mr. Prolong, better known as Urge Overkill, the pimping of the flame principle.
Oh, but we'll be taking lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache, because it's cheaper to funk than it is to pay attention. You see? A huckabuck! And lo and behold, one talking with Mood Control.
Epic time of day.
Deprogram. Lightly, like a woodpecker with a headache.
When you take an epic kind of pill,
the non-profit organization. Tonight. Welcome to the show. I missed you all. I've been gone for a little while. You know what this is. This is Our Diversity Works, the baddest blog talk radio show on the airwaves, here to discuss all things diversity. We missed you last month. I had a lot of speaking engagements that I had to attend, and we just could not pull it off the last Tuesday of last month, so I apologize for missing you all. My listeners, you know I love you to death, and anytime I get a chance to impart some knowledge or have a great guest on that's going to do the same thing, it makes me happy. So I am happy to be back to have you all with us tonight on the show. It's going to be another power-packed, hour-filled show for you, and we're going to discuss some things about diversity and collaboration and all that good stuff. But before we get started, it would behoove me if I did not mention the late, great senator from Arizona, John McCain. Now, I posted earlier this week on LinkedIn and also on my Twitter feed that, I'm not into politics, although I watch a lot of CNN and Fox, all that kind of stuff, so I can make sure that I stay up to speed on everything, but I'm not really into politics that much. I am concerned about where our country happens to be when it comes to politics, though. But I will say this. If I had to give anybody or define politics, like I said in the post, it would be very easy. Two words, John McCain. Here is a person who belong to a completely different political party that, you know, from who I vote for anyway, been Democrat over the years, but I am not one that's inflexible and will not cross party lines if the person, you know, happens to be for the things that I believe in. However, Senator McCain was a diehard Republican. The gentleman served his country, had the opportunity, if you know any history about John McCain, he was a prisoner of war, had the opportunity to actually be free because his father happened to be an admiral. That's way up there in the food chain, somebody of importance in the military. He had the opportunity to be free just off of that. And he said, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay here with the Navy pilots and the other soldiers that were also captured and endured torture and mental abuse any way you can think of, had both of his arms broken and everything, and he chose to stay in that condition for almost 6 years. Now, I don't know about any of you, but it's hard to keep me inside anywhere for 6 minutes, let alone 6 years. But that is a true representative of a politician. We're talking real politics. Now, politics where the person feels this is the best thing for the country. He was a spirited pilot, served his country well. He died with dignity the same way as he lived his life. And I have to give him props. Like I said, I'm not a Republican, but I love the way he did his thing. He stayed true to who he was all the way up until the end. So I just want to say, you know, God bless John McCain, and I hope his family is doing well. And I wish that, you know, some more of our politicians take note of the fact that, hey, we can be on opposing sides, but we don't view each other as fellow Americans as enemies. And that's what I liked about him. If you hear the stories about him, had some staunch arguments with people, disagreements with him. But you see what he did even at the end for his eulogy. Who did he pick? Former President George Bush and also President Barack Obama, two people who actually defeated him. That's class. I mean, he set all of the small stuff aside and say, hey, this is what I want to show the world when I leave, that we can be on different sides of the table, but when it really counts, we need to come together. So that being said, that's what this show is all about, Our Diversity Works, here on Blog Talk Radio, backed up by my super producer, Ms. Beverly Black, for Gumbo for the Soul. She's responsible for bringing this show to you all over the airwaves, and I'm appreciative that in a country like this, I'm able to do this thing that I happen to love. So I just wanted to say welcome back, folks. We got a few things going on. You know, for me, in the near future here, just got off the road out in Ohio, my home state of Ohio, got the opportunity to go back and do some training, some speaking for the Ohio National Guard, those folks out there at Youngstown Air Reserve Station. I was a keynote speaker for them for their enlisted leadership symposium. Had a lot of fun because it was just a few miles up the road from where my parents happened to live. So I got a chance to go home and spend 4 days with the parents and just kind of sit around and be a kid again, because mom and them still think I'm a little kid, even though I'm in my 50s. They still think I'm a little kid. And I'm not going to complain, because some days when I wake up and you got to pay those bills, if y'all know what I'm talking about, I wish I could go back to those days of being a child where somebody was taking care of me instead of me taking care of kids. So I appreciate that. Much love for my folks back in Ohio. Then I ended up teaming up with our guest that we have on tonight, but I'll tell you all a little bit about her in a minute. Got a chance to go to Washington, D.C. for a few days and do some training with the good folks from the Food Safety and Inspection Service out in Washington, D.C. Those are the folks that are responsible for making our food safe and sound for us to eat. So that was a pleasure to be able to do that. Immediately dropped back in on Friday night late, had a couple days to recoup, then flew out to Oklahoma City. Got to send some shouts out to my folks out there, Sherry Galloway and Chief Givens. Thank you all for the incredible support that you all gave me while I was out there doing the training. Those folks were good, had some fun doing the training with them, and hope that it was effective and hope everybody got something out of it. So had a little bit of fun. September coming up, I'm going to be somewhere. I got to go check my calendar and see where I'm going to be. But right now I'm with you all tonight, so that's what matters. So with all of that being said, you all know how we do on this show. I bring in the best guests, an eclectic group of thought-provoking subject matter experts who are out in the field doing their thing, enlightening our employees and our citizens to be better people, be better craftsmen, be better artists, be better employees at whatever they're doing. And tonight, without a doubt, the same sort of pedigree. Tonight, I have the pleasure of having with us Mrs. Karen Gregory. She is the CEO and president of HRSS Consulting Group. You all may not have heard of it, but trust me, you will soon, because she's a very dynamic presenter and speaker who I had the pleasure of knowing some time now for a number of years. Her and I worked together somewhat at Diomi when I was out there years back, and just a phenomenal person. And she actually, you know, called me up so we can collaborate and do some things. And you all know how I am. My circle is small. So, you know, if I'm doing business with the person or if I'm even talking about the person, you know that person is already co-signed. They're good to go. So let me tell you a little bit about Karen, because she's doing some great things out there, and I want to make sure that you folks get the opportunity to learn more about her. So as the president and CEO of HRSS Consulting Group, which is headquartered in Cocoa Beach, Florida, folks, right out there on the ocean, she has grown her company to include a team of experts in coaching, talent management, strategies, employee training, organizational assessments, and leadership development, all of which, when established and leveraged successfully through her insightful and engaging techniques, create high-performing organizations with positive results on the bottom line. As a recognized leader, Karen's expertise in leadership development and behavioral change and performance management has been honed over 20 years of experience as a behavioral scientist. Creating change through captivating and engaging her audiences, combined with her contagious energy, and let me tell you, it's contagious. You all will see this in a minute. Her compassion and humor inspires her participants to want to do more and to also want to be more. She teaches by her own example and provides a pragmatic ideas and techniques that brings people aspirations into reach. Karen's gregarious and infectious attitude, coupled with her knowledge and expertise, has made her a natural go-to for large government-related organizations such as NASA out there at Kennedy Space Center, talking Cape Canaveral in Florida here, U.S. Department of Agriculture, U.S. Treasury, and all of the military services. She's also highly sought after and a prominent commercially related subject matter expert, and she's also dealt with organizations such as Allstate Insurance, North American Shared Services, HR Florida, and the International Personal Assessment Council. In addition to doing all of this, folks, she is also a lieutenant colonel in the United States Air Force Reserves, currently serving with the U.S. Special Operations Command down in MacDill Air Force Base. That's over in Tampa, for those of you who know where the location is. Additionally, Ms. Gregory serves as Congressman Posey's Veteran Advisory Council. She serves on that council and several other boards, to include the Florida Association of Veteran-Owned Businesses, Space Coast Chapter of Women in Defense, the LEAD, which is Brevard Curriculum Committee, and the Economic Development Committee of Florida Space Coast. Karen is also affiliated with numerous industry and professional organizations, to include SHRM, that's Society for Human Resource Management, NDIA, which is the National Defense Industrial Association, and she holds a dual-track master's degree in management and human resource development and a bachelor's of science in psychology with a minor in sociology. She is also a certified mediator and senior professional in human resource. That's an SPHR certification that she has. She is also a SHRM senior certified professional. Karen is married with two boys, age 22, Alonzo, and Jacob is age 18. So without further ado, folks, I want to introduce you to one of my close friends, subject matter expert in all she does. Welcome, Mrs. Karen Gregory, to the show. Karen, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gary. Thanks.
All right. You can send me the check, too. Just make sure, you know, I know you're good for it. But it's great to have you on the show tonight. I've been trying to do this for a little while, but I know with our busy schedules, we're like, you know, two ships passing in the night. You know, I know you're off doing something. I call you up, Karen, you know, can you come on the show? Well, you know what? I'm doing ABC. Okay, I'll catch you on the next one. Karen, can you come on the show? But you got to wait because I got to do this over here. So finally I got you, and I'm happy that you're here, especially coming off of the week of training that you and I happen to have, and we'll talk about that in a little bit out in Washington, D.C. But while we have you here, Karen, I would like for my guests to get to know a little bit about you, your background, and who you are. So just tell us a little bit about your background. How did you start, you know, HRSS? What made you want to become a consultant? And, you know, how does that tie in with the military? Just let us know a little bit about who you are. Go ahead.
Okay, awesome. I appreciate it, Gary, and thanks for your persistence. And they say persistence pays off, right?
That's right.
So happy that we were finally able to save a date, if you will, and come together and collaborate and dialogue here tonight. So a little bit about me. Basically, my dad was military. I moved all my life. Oldest of two girls. I have a younger sister. And my dad was Army guy. He ended up retiring, but I was born into that military life very early on. So pretty much his entire career was my entire life.
Okay.
I think I graduated, maybe I shouldn't share that on here. I graduated high school in 1990. My dad actually didn't retire until 92. So,
right.
You know, went off to college, got an undergraduate degree in psychology, a minor in sociology, and probably somewhere halfway into, you know, into that college degree, because I actually started out an accounting major. Can you imagine me as an accounting major? Whoa. That would have been an interesting accounting.
Right.
I had done, you know, bookkeeping and accounts payable type jobs. I just thought, oh, that's natural. But I thought, you know, I can't do debits and credits forever. I've got to do something much more, you know, complex and
right.
exciting and just complicated, quite frankly, because that's what interests me, right? Problem
yeah.
solving. So about yeah. halfway in, I'm like, oh, goodness. And with a psychology degree, you know, bachelor's degree, not going to make very much money. You know, I need
right.
to go on and get a master's and a PhD. So long story short, you know, somebody had said, and probably to just the influence from my dad being in the military. And at that point, I was going to college in a military town also. And so started thinking, you know, maybe I should consider that. I thought about going enlisted, actually spoke to a recruiter to enlist. And that recruiter, I wish I knew who it was. I don't know, you know, the name or anything. But basically, the person did me a favor and said, listen, you're already in college. Go through ROTC, you know, and get your commission as an officer. So short story,
right.
that's exactly what I did. Graduated with that bachelor's degree, like I said, in psychology. Joined the Air Force, got my commission as a second lieutenant, and basically became a behavior scientist. Because at that point in time, to be a behavior scientist in the Air Force, you're not doing any kind of counseling or therapy
yeah.
type work.
Mm-hmm.
You're really doing more industrial organizational psychology, so metrics, analysis,
right.
that kind of work with human, you know, human relations or human, you know, human behavior being a piece of that. So,
mm-hmm.
So joined the Air Force. Went on, got a master's degree, as you've already shared, got a dual degree there, really enjoyed the people side. I'm so very glad that I changed from an accounting major to
right.
being a little more fascinating and complicated
yeah.
To me, you know, in psychology. I actually did 12 years active duty in the Air Force as a behavior scientist,
okay.
and in 2009 decided – for several reasons, decided to get off active duty. So got off active duty the very next day. I swore in as a full-time reservist at SOCOM, Special Operations Command, the first time that I was there back in 2009.
Okay.
And when I did that, that's actually when I started picking up some consulting work, because what had happened when I got off active duty, I was actually stationed out in Las Vegas area, Nellis Air Force Base. When I got off active duty, my husband was here in Florida. He had taken it, you know, because we knew I was going to get off active duty. And so he had already taken a job the year prior, probably about eight, nine months before I actually even got off active duty, to come back to Florida. So he's in Florida. I'm in Las Vegas. I get off active duty. I accept a position, a full-time reserve position in Tampa, as you mentioned, MacDill Air Force Base at Special Operations Command. And I did that for about a year and a half there. So at this point, my husband's got my oldest child, my stepson, and I've got my younger one with me over in Tampa. So we're leasing the same state, So East Coast, West Coast of Florida, not the U.S., which is a little better. But what it did was it actually allowed a little bit of free time, if you will, to do a little bit of consulting work because I've got, you know, I've got one kiddo. And at that point, he was very young, so, you know, bedtime was like 8 p.m. And so I just had a little bit of time, maybe weekends and nights, to do a little bit of consulting work, which is what eventually blossomed into her consulting group. So HRSS, Human Relations Strategies and Solutions, a little play off the acronym, it's HERS. We are women owned and veteran owned. So, women owned, veteran owned, you know, veterans love their acronyms. Didn't actually start the company, though, established the company truly as HERS Consulting Group until March of 2012. I just continued to do independent consulting, and it really just became a bandwidth issue. So little by little, if you think about it, it's like I went from this full-time active duty, and quite frankly, everything that I took as a behavioral scientist, a professor out at the Air Force Academy, all the many awesome opportunities that I had in the Air Force, I took all of that experience and turned it into, you know, my consulting gig, if you will. With that, just it became a bandwidth issue. And so little by little, I started doing less and less reserve duty, you know, military duty, and more consulting work. So really between, 2009, 2012 is when that happened. I said, okay, it's a bandwidth issue. You know, either I'm going to cut back on the types of things that I support and able to do and, you know, in the consulting world, or I'm going to grow and turn this into a company and it's going to be much more than me. So in March 2012, HERS Consulting Group was born, and, you know, we've had some rough times, and I actually just spoke last Wednesday. I was a speaker, and I spoke about from boots to the boardroom. Primarily a group of women in defense. I'm an advisor, a founder of the Space Coast chapter of Women in Defense, and so they asked me to come speak about that. And so I kind of want to highlight that because I think it's so ever important, regardless of gender, that, you know, no journey is easy, you know. It really is about the journey and the learning that happens during the journey. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm like, starting a consulting business was the hardest thing I've ever done. The military stuff to me was much easier.
Absolutely. Because military, you know, somebody's thinking for us, right? So this, you got to think for yourself.
Here's a checklist. Here's a checklist. Go do it. If you do it well, you will excel, generally speaking, at least up to a certain pay grade, right?
Right.
So it was always kind of planned out for us and, you know, do this, do that, check those blocks. We knew what to do. You either did it or you didn't do, and that determined your success in the military. There is no step one, step two, step three, you know, in the consulting world or in any startup business. So 2012, when I started the company, so this is March, we had been, we being the company at that point, because now I'd had a couple people that were also working with us as employees and 1099 support. And in September, the end of September, we had, up to that point, we had been able to sub on one, basically one primary contract. So it was our bread and butter. You know, it's a little work here, a little work there, kind of, you know, trickle effect, if you will. But we had one contract we were on. Long story short, they had to rebid it, and in September, the end of September of 2012, they lost it. It went into protest for 18 months. Well, at that point, we didn't know. We didn't know, like, is it going to be a month? Is it going to be 6 months? Who ever guessed that it would be 18 months? So it's kind of like, okay. So a little bit of lesson learned there was, like, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, if you're going to build and get on with it.
Right.
So, put all your eggs in one basket and think that everything is just going to work out because it doesn't always.
Right.
So really, we survived that. We moved on. 2014, about early summer, late spring, early summer, things started to pick back up. 2016, we won our first prime, you know, government contract. 17, we won our first state prime contract. 18, we just won a January 2018, we won a 10-year blanket purchase agreement with Forest Services. And so those were some of our big wins we've had. I've been very, very blessed. And you know, in 16, I was recognized as by Ernst & Young and by NAVOBA, the National Association of Veteran-Owned Business as the Woman Vetrepreneur of the Year Award.
Congratulations.
In 2017. That's
phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's just been, it's been a ride. In 17, I was recognized as a Veteran of Influence by the Orlando Business Journal. And then again this year, there was recognition basically for, they actually called the award Women Who Mean Business.
Right.
So it's been really good. So my comment early on, you know, about persistent pace, I think I've just hopefully painted that picture. Because really, that is the truth, you know, persistence, stick with it, have some grit, be resilient, be thick-skinned, roll with the punches, they're going to come, it's inevitable. And so I think you know, that's just one thing that feels so important. So I know I've taken up way too much time, but that's kind of been my ride. You know, to be able to talk about, hey, you know, kind
it's
of
just been a long ride, right? You ain't stopped yet, okay?
It has,
still
it has,
ride.
I don't even know. God, as I was gonna say, God only knows what's coming. So.
That's right. Hey, and you know, collaborating with you, we're going to make sure that that ride keeps on riding. We're going to get a one-way ticket to wherever. That's what we call it. So, you know, I just listening to your journey, it just takes me back to my own journey about, you know, how you have to gamble on yourself. And especially when you're a first-generation entrepreneur or everything that you're doing is brand new, you have to have a lot of confidence in your skill set. And you said one thing early on when you said, you know, you took all of those experiences, okay, which in my book, for those of you who have not read it yet, I'll cheat and give you a little bit of it. It's called Beyond Demographics, The Truth About Diversity, out on Amazon and Barnes & Nobles. It's still doing well. I have people, you know, write me every day saying how the book has helped them, so I'm very happy about that. But, you know, I call that the cell phone effect, right? So as a cell phone has apps that have all of these powers and capabilities and all of that, it's only as effective as the user. So if the user knows how to get to all of those apps and make them work for their benefit, it can save them time, money, effort, maybe even save a life. So it sounds to me like you've taken your hard drive with all of those apps of experience that you've had, and you've used them to create a business for yourself. Does that sound pretty much, you know, what you've gone through?
Yeah, and I liken it, you know, because I've got that psychology background. I call it
those
psychological shortcuts. Like, who wants to reinvent the wheel, right?
That's
so
right.
You garner as much as you already have in knowledge and experience. You tap into mentors. I mean, all the things that we were also taught in the military, but we're also taught as young entrepreneurs to do the same. You know, you just tap into that, and you always look forward. You keep your eye on the prize, and, yeah, it's about how do you use the resources that you already have available. How do you tap into that or those apps, as you described, to, you know, to I was going to say to be successful, and but I'm hesitant in saying that only because everybody defines that differently. So my success
is
not maybe your success or vice versa,
right.
And that's okay. That's the great thing about that.
Right. Well,
so,
Karen, I'm
going
to tell
you,
I describe success for me. Is it paying my bills? Is it feeding me? Yes, I'm successful. All right? If I don't have to worry about people calling me. That's right. I'm successful. I'm successful enough. You may not know me, but guess what? The bill collectors don't know me either because they ain't calling me asking me for their money. All right? So it's all good.
Good psychological understanding again.
That's
Maslow's
right.
Hierarchy of basic needs right
there.
I've got to eat. I need to sleep.
That's right. That's right. Self-actualization. I am good. Okay? Absolutely. So, you know, so for some people out, you know, because I have a lot of conversations with just, you know, people out in the public when I'm out and about, and one of the most common questions that they ask me is, well, how did you get started, you know, doing the thing that you do within diversity and all of that kind of stuff? And, you know, what I try to explain to them is that I didn't keep saying I'm going to.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I learned boxing when I used to box, right? you know, we're in the ring sparring and everything, and you get hit, get your bell rung a couple times. You come back to the corner, and my trainer's like, hey, listen, you need to do A, B, C, or D. And I'd be like, I'm going to. He said, well, you know what? While you're getting ready to, he's hitting you. So whenever you decide that you want to do it, just do it. And I took that mentality into what I'm doing. So for the wantrepreneurs, and that's what I call them, the people who want to do it, but they haven't done it yet, what's one thing that you can, you know, a piece of advice that you can give them just about getting started? Because a lot of times that's the hardest thing to do is get started.
I know it's, I mean, the first thing when you were describing, the first thing I was, just do it. Just start.
Yeah. Nike commercial, right? Just do it.
Yeah, exactly. It still works, right?
Yes.
I know, you know, but many people say, well, what does that look like? What does it mean? Just start. It's to your point. There are going to be some knockout punch. Yeah, you're going to get your bell ring a few times.
Yep.
You've got to get in your corner, get cleaned up, brush yourself off, and keep on going. Because
absolutely.
I think for any entrepreneur, even those that think they have it figured out, you know, life happens. Our economy changes. We have change in administration. We have all kinds of changes, right? Dynamic, right? It's dynamic,
right.
Changing, ever-changing environment. And so I say just do it, and I'd add with that and be ready to pivot. And that's one thing I've been blessed to go through several entrepreneur programs. A lot of them actually were at no cost for veterans. And so I'm more than willing to share additional information about those and where maybe to go find those awesome programs. And that's one of the things they talked about, you know, it's like what we were taught in the military, adjust fire, right? Well, same concept.
Right.
If it ain't working, then pivot, make an adjustment,
but
you keep on trucking. It may not be a straight line from A to B to C, but just start and figure it out along the way. Another friend of mine who has been a very successful business owner, she basically said, and many have probably heard this saying, you know, I'm building the plane while I'm flying it. And what it's like to be an entrepreneur. Because you just don't
know
what you don't know. And there's no cliff notes out there, you know, to tell us the shortcut. And really, it doesn't exist for most of us. For most entrepreneurs, they're not having the overnight success. Ask most who are successful, and they've been in business. Those are who are truly, truly successful have been in business many times, 20-plus years. It didn't come overnight. So just start.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and even pivoting, that's also a boxing technique. You better pivot, because if you don't pivot, you're going to get hit, okay?
You're getting sucker punched.
That's right. You need to be able to pivot. And, you know, that one part of it where you have to be flexible, right? I had a conversation today with a friend of mine, and we were talking about his plan for success because he wants to become an entrepreneur and do some different things. And, you know, he says, well, I want to do it, but I don't know where to start. So I said, well, maybe what you want to do doesn't even exist. Maybe you are that person who has to create it. So if you keep waiting on a blueprint or somebody to send you an invitation to get started, it's not going to happen because maybe it doesn't exist. You have to make that exist. So it sounds like, you know, from your analogies that you did a lot of that. You took, you know, the faith that you had and the confidence in yourself and say, hey, listen, I can do this. Let me figure out where my sweet spot is as I'm building the business. And then once you build the business, it kind of falls into your lap, and then you get comfortable with that one slice of pie, and you say, okay, this is the thing that I'm going to be the SME on. You can call me on this one. I got it. So that's great advice for the listeners, for you all out there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen. We got a little pause there. What were you going to say?
I think that's exactly. I think you do. You just figure it out, and you figure out what you're really passionate about. You receive feedback. You start to figure out what are you good at, not good at. What are the things you don't want to do? Then don't do them, because you're probably not going to be that great at them.
Right. Exactly.
As you build
reputation
up, you will know. You'll know where you're in your sweet spot, in your element, And you will know, this is one thing I would like to add, because this is actually just a learning lesson that probably happened to me, honestly, probably in just the last year. All the voices with people's recommendations, and you should do this, and you need to that, and I had to learn to start tuning that out. My goodness.
Yeah.
And do what is right by my gut instinct and what I know that I've got to live with, and nobody's going to tell me, define my success by their definition.
No,
and that was a
no.
tough lesson, because I'm a big proponent for listening to my mentors or listening to others that have been there, done that, and hopefully learning from that. But what I learned in that is that that's defining their success. And again, there's no path or no book out there to say step one, step two, step three to work for you the same way. And so
there
I had to learn to kind of navigate that and, quite frankly, sift through some of that and not listen to all the voices, which sounds kind of contrary to what we tell most folks to do. You know, seek advice, seek mentors, you know, seek guidance from others that have been there, done that. But be able to sift through and know what is going to work for you. Because, again, what works for you, Gary, may not work for me, or vice versa. We're two different people. We have two different things maybe, you know, in mind in terms of where we want to be, the things that we're interested in doing, et cetera. So.
Right. And see, that brings me to why this show is even in existence right now. Because we all have different ways, which are called diverse ways of doing things. And if we can tap into all of those differences, and really that's what you're doing, it's just like sifting for gold, right? So when the gold miners would go out there, and back in the day when they were in the lakes and everything and they were trying to find those little nuggets, well, 95 or maybe even 99% of what they scooped up was useless to them. It was that one little nugget that they were looking for. And that's what you do with information. You know, you take the nuggets out that work for you. Same thing with diversity. When you're coming up with creative ideas and everything, you take those nuggets out. There's going to benefit the organization, or there's going to benefit you personally. And that's the goal that you go with. The rest of it, you leave it to the side. Don't get caught up in that, because if you do, then you spin your wheels and you will end up going to your grave being a wantrepreneur instead of being an entrepreneur. So, folks, if you are just tuning in, I am with Karen Gregory of HRSS, HRSS Consulting Group, tonight, and you're on Blog Talk Radio, Gumbo for the Soul, and this is Our Diversity Works. We're having a great conversation. Just, I wanted to give you all a little bit of spin on being an entrepreneur, because I get asked these questions a lot while I'm out on the road. And about how do you take those skill sets, okay? And this is what diversity is all about. It's taking different skill sets that are different from the next person, and applying those for the betterment, if you will, of the organization or for yourself. So, Karen, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the importance of collaboration, because you and I have had that experience now. So even as a consultant, how important, in your opinion, is it to collaborate with other provocative thinkers out there to accomplish your task? How important is that to your business?
Well, I'll speak to it both personally and professionally. I mean, personally, it's just a personal growth thing, right?
Right.
For me, I don't know everything. And I've got a limited perspective. It's called Karen's perspective. And so
for
me, you know, I look at it as like, okay, you know, I learn from others and their experiences from their perspective. I would have never thought of it that way. I would never seen it that way. I've never had that experience. And so I think that's the fascinating thing, just from a one-on-one, you know, with other professionals like us, one-on-one, right? From one consultant to another, one professional to another. I think, you know, so that's one perspective, but I think even from the company perspective, larger kind of macro perspective, quite frankly, you know, you heard me say, I started a company kind of sort of by accident, because I didn't have a choice. It was never in the plan. If you had asked me, one, if I was going to be a business owner, or I was going to have employees, I would have told you no way, you know, 10 plus years ago. It just kind of sort of happened. And it was because it was a bandwidth issue. One, just not enough resource time myself, But then also, guess what? There's a lot of folks that do things better than me. You know, I can't be a master of all trades. There are some things that I do really well and some things that maybe I don't. And so how can I expand, quite frankly, our services that Hearst Consulting Group offers? Well, one way to do that is collaborating. And specifically, we grew the company not only in terms of, you know, it started with just me and then we had employees. So that's one growth level. But then another level being through teaming agreements, teaming with other organizations. We actually have large, normally they're primes, large government contractors who are subcontracting to little old Hearst, because we're a small business, right? You know, they're actually subcontracting to us, and we're the prime. We're the lead contractor. Yeah. And so the only way we could do that, though, is one, having the open mind to say, one, you know what, we don't need to do it all, and quite frankly, we can't do it all. So what other, you know, diverse skill sets, experience, background, qualifications, whatever it is, quite frankly, that our clients are looking for, we know they have the need for. How can we bring that in? So we grew Hearst Consulting Group to this point through collaborating and through partnerships. And so our experience has been more of a one-on-one because we tag team some fun stuff as co-facilitators because I love still doing client engagements. That's one thing I had taken myself out of, and I think I'd shared that with you. I took myself out of client engagements, but realized, you know, talking to diversity, I realized what I bring to the table for my own company. Writing proposals is not it. Client engagements is it. It's game on.
Yes. Absolutely.
Realized that we needed to leverage that. And you know, and I identified a few things, the gifts that you have, right? So, that's how it's an awesome experience. And you learn from each other and you have fun while you're doing it.
Yeah. And I tell you, the collaboration was great experience. It was fun for me to be able to do that, because I know that was something else that, you know, we had talked about at other venues that we ran into, because you would be on the card and I would be on the card. Hey, Karen, how you doing? Yeah, I'm speaking here too. Okay, I'll catch up with you. And, you know, finally you got a chance to sit through one of my presentations up in Jacksonville with those folks up there in Sherm. And, you know, we finally got a chance to collaborate, and I think that it was a good experience. I'm sure and I'm hopeful that the participants, you know, took something away from that collaboration, because I know you bring in a wealth of knowledge, you know, on what you're doing for leadership development and stuff like that. So that was great. And once again, to the listeners, you are on Blog Talk Radio, Gumbo for the Soul. This is Our Diversity Works with your host, Mr. Gary Richardson. We're going to be doing this again next month. We'll have that flyer out to you a little bit earlier. It was a delay on my part. My producer, she gets on me all the time. Hey, you got to free up some of them hands so we can get this out. So my apologies for sending it out later, but I know if I send out too early, people will forget. So thank you for being here with us tonight. Make sure that you look up the book, Beyond Demographics, The Truth About Diversity. A lot of what Karen and I are talking about tonight, you will get a chance to read in that book. And Karen, I want to just give the audience an opportunity. If they wanted to contact you, how would they get in touch with you if they wanted you to come in and do, you know, an assessment for them, needs assessment, or they wanted to have you come in and speak? Can you give them your information?
I sure can. Here's my personal cell. Just kidding. But I will.
All right. They'll have me going back in uniform. You'll be calling me up with these people calling you at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Listen, remember, you were taught all that. It's good military people, too, right? Like, if that's right. Phone call at 2 or 3 a.m., it's coming. It does come. So we're kind of used to that. But all jokes aside, I'd love to, you know, be there even just as a resource if somebody has questions, as they listen and say, hey, you know, I have a little bit of a question, you follow on, whatever. If they are interested in our services, I really didn't share. I guess I should have talked a little bit about that. But Hearst Consulting Group specializes in organizational development. So assessing organizations and people and developing them through employee and leadership development and coaching in particular. So if they wanted to contact us, if they want to get in touch with me personally, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's a great way. Lots of people do actually reach out through LinkedIn. Hers Consulting Group is also, we also have a LinkedIn page. We have a Facebook page and a Twitter page. Those are four different ways. Again, me personally on LinkedIn or Hers HRSS Consulting Group. You can find us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. And then if our website, if they want to contact me through that way or contact our team that way, it's www.hrssconsultinggroup.com, or they could just Google HRSS Consulting Group and they will find us. So those are several different ways to get in touch. And there's an email there, which my staff will actually, if it says Karen, even though it's an info email, somebody's like, hey, Karen, heard you on the radio, then my staff will make sure that that gets forwarded to me.
Okay, fantastic. And for those of you who are listening, if you didn't get that and you wanted to get in touch with Karen or myself, you can always reach me at www.gary.rconsulting, rconsulting is one word, at gmail.com. That's my email address that you can always reach me there. You can see my website at www.r.diversityworks with a W-O-R-K and an X at the end, not an S. So that's www.rdiversityworks, the letter R, and then diversity and works with an X at the end, .com. That's my brand new, fresh website that my web designer, Mr. Calverick, out there in upstate New York, put together for me. Did a fantastic job. It's a one-stop shop. You can go there. You can hear this show, which will probably be on there in a few days. You can go on and watch the videos that I've done or previous presentations. You can also order the book straight from the website. So those are ways you all can get in touch with us. If you ever want to further the discussion or you need a needs assessment or something for your business, don't hesitate. Karen has a wealth of knowledge in this area, and I'm sure she'll be able to help you. So, Karen, you know, the other thing that, you know, I wanted to kind of elaborate on a little bit, because I know right now it's difficult sometimes when you're a first-generation entrepreneur, meaning you had no blueprint, there was nobody out there before you doing it. How important is it to make sure that you establish networks of support systems to be able to walk you through some of those things? Have you used them? Have they worked against you? How do you manage that?
Oh, good Lord, if I didn't have them, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I will be the first to profess there have been plenty of days that I would have liked to just crawled up in a corner and cried and forget about the world. Believe it or not many of those in the military, but all in building a business. And so just critical. I can't stress that. Having a support system, and I will tell you, being a female entrepreneur, and we talk about diversity, I've had lots of other women who have come to me and said, but my husband is not supportive.
He
that's kind of like, it's taking my time. He wants me to spend time with him. You know, he doesn't want me out in networking events, whatever, you know, and the list goes on. And, or they've got, you know, they're still taking care of kids at home. My kids were a little bit older when I started doing the consulting work, and it just kind of blossomed. And as it grew, they grew too, right? So they became more and more self-sufficient. And so, you know, I think those are some of the challenges, you know, so from a woman's perspective, definitely got to have the support of spouse, because it's a maker or breaker, whether we like to admit it or not, it just is. If you don't have a spouse, and this is really, it shouldn't matter either way, because men, if you got a woman, a spouse, you know, that is female, it doesn't matter either way, it doesn't matter. You got to have the support system of that significant other. I'll take it to a whole nother level, right? Of just the significant other, because they're used to having your time. And guess what? When you are building a business, you are eat, living, and breathing it. Mm-hmm. You're like, you know, husband who? I have kids.
Yes.
You know? I mean, it just kind of becomes that. It kind of overtakes you. If you want it to be successful, you have to breathe life into it, which means almost all of your energy is pretty much going to that. And so if you don't have that immediate support system, meaning family support, particularly your significant other, it is going to be a huge challenge. And unfortunately, I've seen where it has not worked. Either way, you know, the business didn't work, or unfortunately, the relationship didn't work. You know, there were times when my husband, quite frankly, said, you know, hey, do you want me to text the address so you can find your way home? Right. That's clearly a message. So, you know, we've been through some of those. I think, you know, kind of the next level out is just having support from other professionals who've been through the same thing. They serve as advisors and mentors, and quite frankly, the people who pick you up and dust you off and pat you on the back and says, you know, you inspire me that you just keep on. So keep on keeping on. You're doing great. You'll be all right. I had a friend text me today. She said it was actually a little different perspective because I got, you know, that my 18-year-old just went off to college. So we actually are empty nesters officially. And she's like, how are you doing? I said, oh, we're doing fine. We're going to the Bahamas this weekend. She goes, I knew you'd be fine. But it was a support system in terms of she was checking. Yes. So have those layers of support system that extend outward. You know, I have a church family. I have different women's groups. And so different needs for different times. But I would not be where I am today if I did not have those various support systems in place. Period.
Right.
The end.
Absolutely. And It's very critical, especially early on. Now, it's not to say that you don't need that support all the way through, because trust, you will, because you're going to have those days, I don't care how long you're in this business, where you feel like you're the lowest thing on the earth. You got back an evaluation, and the people called you everything except for a child of God. They weren't happy with you. It's almost like you came in and stole something from them. But you got to be able to pick yourself up and dust yourself off, because that's not the entire world. That's just one, you know, session. That's just one class. You got to have a short memory and be able to bounce back from those things. Now, I will say this, or I'm going to ask you this, rather, as we're coming quickly to a close here in a few minutes. But, folks, you're listening to Our Diversity Works on blogtalkradio.com, Gumbo for the Soul, and this is your host, Mr. Gary Richardson, coming to you once again in this fabulous month of August. We're going to be back with you in September, but before we get out of here, I just want to ask Karen a couple more questions so we can get as much out of her as we can while we have her here for this hour. So when you go in to discuss a proposal with a, you know, possible or future client, how important is it for you to have your game plan locked down with a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C? How important is it for you to be completely prepared to understand where you want to go with your concept, with your proposal for the training? How important is it for you to make sure that you got all of those I's dotted and T's crossed going in to that client? And has it ever backfired on you when you weren't prepared?
Yeah, so I'll mention two things first and really go down the commercial kind of path, if you will. On the government side, a lot of it is, you know, proposal writing. They put out a request for proposal, request for quote. It's very much outlined what they're looking for. It's a little different.
Right.
So I won't speak to that because it's just a whole different beast. So I will be talking about overcoming. We just found out we came in second place on two different proposals. Talk about picking yourself up. One of them we lost by 1.3 points, so 1% out of 100. So, yeah, dust yourself, pick yourself up. Don't stay stuck. Get on with it. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the government side. That commercial side, I will say this, obviously preparation goes a long way. You can't just go in winging it. The fact-finding mission, if you will, is most important. Obviously, discussing their needs up front, so collecting as much data, if you will, initially so that you can come in with a game plan. And what I like to do is potentially offer a couple of options. And I may not have it, you know, written out, so to speak, but I've already thought about if-then situations. And that's the pivot, right? It's being flexible and adaptable. And so, you know, being able to overcome. I did have, you talked about backfiring. I did just have a recent situation where basically I had a client that went in me command. They actually chose our company partially because of my background in the SOF community, Special Operation Forces community. And so they wanted me to come in. Well, their executive director actually had pushback because she is, I think, she was a little concerned that one of the board members knew me. And she said, well, it seems kind of maybe it's a conflict of interest. So they were thinking this was going to be a great thing. Bring Karen in. She's got this background that we'll use that to experience. She already knows our community. That's a step ahead. And it backfired, which I didn't see it coming. They didn't see it coming. But the quick pivot was we've always got a plan B and C. Guess what? I had an entire team of experts. And guess what? Yeah. They didn't come out of the SOF community. And so, and there was some diversity issues there, actually, where she didn't want to work with a male either. So we had to be sensitive to that and bring in another female. And so, you know, we worked around it. So it just kind of goes back to what we already talked about, really, and being flexible and adaptable. Be prepared. Do your homework. You know, you can't slack off. You know, business is not going to just land in your lap. You need to work your tail end off to get there.
That's right.
But then also be able to pivot when you need to pivot. Don't go in thinking, here's the plan. Either it's going to happen this way or it isn't. No, here's the plan. And if they come with something, you better have plan B, C, D, E, F, whatever in your back pocket ready to go.
Yeah. So if they tell you you got 15 minutes, you better prepare for 5. If they tell you you got an hour, you better prepare for 15 minutes. I mean, normally that's how it works, especially when you go to, you know, bigger organizations, the ones at the top of the food chain. I mean, hey, you're on their turf, so you better be flexible, and you better be able to give them all of the questions that they're asking you, because at the end of the day, if they don't feel that they can make money off of your proposal, if they can't see it, okay, on to the next. You know, we have somebody in here that's ready to go. Yeah. They have their mission set. They know what they need to do. So, you know,
How are you creating value, right?
Yes.
How are you creating value for them? That's the short sale right there.
There you go. Value added.
Don't tell me what you're selling. Yeah.
That's right.
Tell me what value you bring.
How is it going to help us? And, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I bring, you know, different thinkers onto the show. Because I'm trying to impart how diversity works. Now, we talked a lot about business. We talked a lot about being an entrepreneur. But this really all goes back to diversity. Because without having all of these different experiences, without knowing how to tap into your apps once again, and take your talents and utilize them to make a business for yourself, utilize them to make yourself better in the workplace that you're already working in. Maybe you're the type where you like to be in corporate America, and that's fine. But get the most out of it. Get the most out of yourself. That's what this show is about, Our Diversity Works. We push a positive message for those who are out there and you want to become more enlightened, you want to become better at your skill set. It's all about tapping into your individual diversity. How does that work? Well, Karen said it. You got to have that mental fortitude. You got to hang in there. You got to take a little BS every now and then, because trust me, you're going to catch it. It's just human nature. As people, we don't always treat each other, you know, the right way, and even ourselves. If we really look back at ourselves, we've made a lot of mistakes individually, you know, with other people. So you apologize, you stay sincere to yourself, and you move on. This is Our Diversity Works on blogtalkradio.com, and we're coming to a close here, Karen. We got about 2 minutes left. If you had to give the audience just something quick, a quote, a little nugget of knowledge that's going to help them tap into their individual diversity to become the best person that they can possibly be, what would you give them tonight in closing?
I don't know that I have any fancy quote other than a biblical passage. You know, I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? Philippians 4:13. That's what it's all about. I kept that painted in front of me so many days. You talk about diversity. Well, there's spiritual diversity. And so for me, that was always important. So I tell people, you know, find your passion, be kind to others, and enjoy life because it's short.
There you go.
Our days
Absolutely.
Are numbered.
We have so many heartbeats, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't know when they're going to stop. So with that being said, Karen, I want to thank you for a fantastic show. I know it went by fast. Thank you for giving that knowledge that you have to our audience. We try to have fun here, folks. I'm glad that you're with us tonight. Join us back in September. I'll get that flyer out to you all, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. on the West Coast. Make sure that you get the most out of yourself that you possibly can while you're on this earth. And I'm going to close with this. At your funeral, what would you want people to say about your legacy? Let that be your guiding principle and see if it changes something in the course of your life. Thank you for being with us tonight. This is Blog Talk Radio Gumbo for the Soul. Our diversity works, and I'm Mr. Gary Richardson. We will see you in September. Good night.